Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. We're going to be talking about ecumenical devils today. Ecumenical devils, foolish, wicked, evil wolves who have been placed in the spotlight, Brother James, and are trying to lead the people of God back to Rome, which is really the modern day Egypt, if you will. It represents the world and all that embodies the Antichrist. Hello, Brother James Cisneros. How are you?
I'm doing good, Brother Todd. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. Praising the Lord for the soon return of Jesus. The Bible tells us in this last hour, brother, as you know, that we're to lift up our heads and look up because Jesus is coming soon. Your redemption draws nigh. One of the things that we see coming together in absolute, almost shocking fashion, Brother James, as I believe you'll agree, is the push by these wicked so-called evangelical leaders who only an apostate person would allow to lead them, telling us to go back to Rome. Absolutely a sign of the times, brother. I know you've gathered some quotes from some of these clowns and what they're saying, and I want to have you kind of mention at least one or two of those right up front here, if you will.
Well, you know, I think the first one I want to quote is Mike Huckabee, because he is an ex-Southern Baptist preacher who claims to be a Christian and who is running, or was, I'm not sure if he's still running for the presidency. I can't remember. I don't keep up with politics. But he actually, in an interview he did with Megyn Kelly, and you can watch this on YouTube. It's a 58-second clip where he actually calls the Pope His Holiness. And he,
oh, boy.
He says that the Pope is the one to be lecturing Christians, not Obama lecturing the Pope. So obviously he's tagging the Pope as being the head of Christians and Christianity to be able to be counseling or giving guidance to Christians, you know. So I think that's interesting because, you know, one of the things that many Christians get sucked into is this whole thing with voting for a Christian, you know, vote the Bible. But if we really voted the Bible, there wouldn't be a man that we could vote for. You know, so a lot of people need to pay attention. You know, Mike Huckabee is not a Christian. He may call himself a Christian. He may have been an ex-pastor. But if the man is going to sit there and call the Pope
holy,
their holiness.
He didn't call Jesus Christ holy, did he? Did he say that on the air?
No, he didn't.
No,
you know,
because this is an antichrist, a replacement for Christ, which is blasphemous.
It is, you know, and one thing, you know, you have men like Wycliffe who lived in the 14th century. During his time, there was a separation of Rome. There was two different popes, a pope out of Rome, a pope out of France. And he said the halves of Christ make up the perfect man of sin. He said the two halves of these popes make up the perfect man of sin. And, you know, then you have John Wesley, who declared in his day that the papacy, the seat of the papacy, was the seat of the man of sin. You have Luther that said the same thing. You have many men down through the Dark Ages during the Reformation that were calling the Pope Antichrist, Tyndale.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, let's face it,
persecuted.
The Dark Ages were the Dark Ages. Why? Because it was under the rule of the Roman Catholic Church.
Amen.
And
you know, so...
Go ahead.
It's just interesting, Brother Todd, because it's almost an insult. You know, it's like mixing the blood.
It is.
Of these
it
Protestants,
is an insult.
But this
yeah.
false holy water of the Vatican, you know what I'm saying?
It's absolute wickedness. What in the Vatican represents, or the Catholic Church represent, Christ? Nothing. It's all set forth as to falsely. The spirit of Antichrist, folks, pretends to be representing Christ while actually subverting the truth of Christ. You've got to have that revelation. It's the spirit of Antichrist that is, and that's how we know these men are of the spirit of Antichrist. I want us to get 1 John 4 open, Brother James, if you can get that ready. Now, I'm going to read a little bit out of 2 Thessalonians 2, which says, "Now we beseech you, brethren," by verse 1, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. I've got a couple of quotes here from the Catholic Church about the office of the Pope that I want to read to you to see if this, as Brother James alluded to earlier, fits the description of this Antichrist. And tell me if this isn't blasphemous. This comes from Ferocis Ecclesiastical Dictionary, Catholic Dictionary, on the article on the Pope. Okay, this is out of their own dogmas and decrees, folks. This isn't me making something up. It says, "The Pope is of so great dignity and so exalted that he is not a mere man, but as it were God and the vicar of God. He is likewise the divine monarch and supreme emperor and king of kings. Hence the Pope is crowned with a triple crown as king of heaven and of earth and of the lower regions," unquote. Unbelievable. Wow. If that wasn't bad enough, here's one from Prompta Bibliotheca, Lucius Ferocis. That ought to give you a little clue. Lucius, hello.
Mm-hmm.
Comes from the word Lucifer. Okay, it says, again, folks, this is not something somebody's making up. This is straight out of their own documents, okay? And most people that are even Catholic don't even know this. "The Pope," it says, they say, "is of so great dignity and so exalted that he is not a mere man. He is, as it were, God on earth, sole sovereign of the faithful of Christ, chief of kings, having plenitude of power," unquote. You know, I could go on and on with these quotes, folks. They're plentiful, right out of the Catholic decrees and dogmas and literature in their books. And this is what they live by. And we got to realize Jesus called one Holy Father, and that was the Father in heaven when he was praying. And we have that on record in the 17th chapter of John. You know, throughout history, to compare Jesus and the Pope and the apostles and the Pope. No, there's no such thing as a Pope, ladies and gentlemen, in God's economy. No such thing as a Pope. The only thing that God has to do with the Pope is that he's going to use him to lead astray millions who do not love the truth. You see, 2 Thessalonians, as we were just reading him, in verse 9 through 12, this is an extremely important passage. It says of the Antichrist, "even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, not the working of God, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now, he's going to have power to do signs and wonders, lying wonders, that is. Just like the magician, false prophets that challenged Moses, who were conquered by the power of God, ultimately. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." You see, he's only able to deceive those that perish. Why do they perish? Why are they on their way to hell? Why are they not in the kingdom of God? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's why people perish, because it's for a rejection of the truth. The Bible says, "Lie not against the truth, they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow, God himself is sending strong delusion to many, Brother James, including these false leaders. They go way back, but, you know, let's go back a few decades to Billy Graham, who absolutely prostituted himself out to this Roman Catholic cult from beginning all the way back in the 50s. A lot of people hold him as if he's some kind of a Protestant pope. The man's not even saved. Period. It doesn't matter if he was saved in the past. He's unsaved now. He's never repented. He's gone on the air. You can look at it on YouTube for yourself. And denied Christ from A to Z. He's done everything except say Jesus Christ is the only way to God, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. None of them do this. Joel Osteen's the same little lukewarm. Yeah. He's not even lukewarm. I don't think he's ever been saved. But he's the same little moral coward and pansy who accommodates everything. I mean, it's all true, I guess, right? It's just one big spiritual, you know, ball, and everybody that, you know, we coexist like the sticker, you know, everybody can choose their own path and still get to God. Folks, next time you get on a plane, would you be so stupid enough to go to the pilot and say, hey, man, just dial those tracking devices and aiming devices that navigate us to, you know, we're here in Dallas, we're flying to Los Angeles. Just man, just do anything you want with those dials, man. We're still going to get to Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
No, dead wrong. The coordinates have to be set exactly for that plane to lift off and fly from Dallas International Airport, DFW, to Los Angeles, LAX. Okay, to land on a little runway that's only about 20 to 40 yards wide, I imagine. You know, you got to have the exact coordinates, Brother James. And Jesus said he's not a way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let me point something out, that in these Jesus movies, supposedly, you got to be real careful. I don't even watch them, folks. I'm not going to even put myself under that seductive spirit that slips stuff in, and mainly that doesn't include everything. That this one that Roma Downey did, Brother James, and her husband, who are New Agers, and Jesus said, how can good fruit come out of a bad tree? They're New Agers, folks. Why are we surprised? They're not Christians. So in there, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. That's it. He stops right there. But the conclusive gauntlet of his statement was left out, and that is, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He made it an absolute. You cannot get to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ shed his blood for the sins of the world, and the true body of Christ must never give glory to any phony pope or any other antichrist, anti meaning in place of Christ. And we just read it from their own decrees, Brother James, that they say that he is in the place of Christ and very God.
Yeah. No, it's it makes you wonder why so many Christians are exalting Billy Graham, Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen was one of those that recently, his comments were, it is wonderful to see that the Pope is enlarging the church and not shrinking the church. James Robinson, Kenneth Copeland, a whole, and their wives, a bunch of other individuals, Benny Hinn, Paula White, a lot of these individuals met with the Pope. A lot of them are speaking well of the Pope as if he was some great figure. You know, what I found interesting was Kim Davis was able to keep herself from falling into the homosexual LGBT bed, only to fall into the Pope's bed himself. Kim Davis, yeah. Now that the Pope came, her and her husband met with the Pope, and he gave her and her husband rosaries that he blessed, and she was extremely touched by these rosaries, receiving these rosaries. The Pope asked her to pray for him, and she asked him to pray for her. You know, I would say that Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, James Robertson, all these other individuals, and there's many more. There's so many out there. I mean, it's just amazing how many people.
Oh, it goes on. Oh,
and
brother, you know, yeah, it's like this, man. You know, in the 80s, I studied a book, Christian perspective book. Can't remember the author, and he documented how each of the, and this is, listen, folks, take a step back. The God of this world is Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And the Bible says in 1 John 5, the whole world lieth in wickedness. In Isaiah, the Bible says that this evil darkness has blanketed the whole earth. And so we're living in a fallen earth at this point, and Jesus is coming back soon, I believe, without any doubt, and he is going to put down all rebellion. He's coming back, 2 Thessalonians 1, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and on them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the two classes. First of all, those that don't know God, don't want to know him, haven't repented, won't repent, and those that obey not. So he covers the backslidden Christian right there. The person that was once a Christian is no longer a Christian. Now, to even think the Pope is a Christian, folks, is delusional. What makes him a Christian? What made Mother Teresa a Christian? Oh, well, they did very wonderful works. Really? Jesus said you must be born again. Did they ever say that? No, never. Not once, neither of them. Paul wrote that it's only by grace through faith that you can be saved. Have they ever said that? No. Have they ever preached Christ? No. No, they put themselves in the place of Christ. They are not holding the head, Colossians 2, verse 18 and 19, and that alone makes them anti-Christ. They've got something else in place of the only Messiah, Jesus Christ, the only one by whom we have hope and can be saved, who said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Who are you honoring? Why would you bow down in any respect to a costume-clad clown from Rome driving around in a car waving the people? What makes him holy? He's not holy. There's nothing holy about the current pope or any pope. Let me read you something. Now, you just got me going here, brother. You know, the Catholic Church teaches that the popes are in succession, apostolic succession, starting with Peter. First of all, Peter was married, Matthew 8:14. Why aren't the popes married if they're in succession of Peter? Ridiculous inconsistency. Okay, and then they legislate, you know, that their priesthood is not to be married, celibacy. Well, that causes all kinds of problems, doesn't it? Well, yeah, it does. But apostolic succession is another Roman Catholic lie. The Catholic Church didn't even formulate until hundreds of years after Jesus left the earth and the apostles. So how can it be? There's no consistency. This is another Roman lie. More than 50 popes show themselves to be atheists or unbelievers throughout history. The history of the pope records homosexuality, rape, murder, adultery, drunkenness, selling religious offices, etc. This is hardly behavior fitting a quote-unquote holy father or the, quote, vicar of Christ, unquote. Ungodly popes and apostolic succession are absolutely the litany of stuff. Pope Damasus, from 366 to 384, many various crimes. Persons who questioned any church doctrine had their lands seized and families sacrificed through being tortured and burnt alive. Former female priests and their children were used as sex slaves to provide an income for the Roman Catholic Church. He was found guilty by 44 bishops of adultery, but used his position to obstruct justice, after which he murdered the bishops. Wow. See, many popes have been labeled the most evil men of history, ladies and gentlemen. More than 50 popes have shown themselves to be atheists and unbelievers. This history goes on and on, Brother Jim. I'm just going to pick one randomly here. There's so many of them. Pope Sergius III, 904 to 911, obtained his office by murder. He fathered several illegitimate children by Marozia, who assassinated Pope Leo and put her own teenage son as Pope, Pope Bonifaci. That's how you say it in Italian. Pope Bonifaci. John whatever and Leo whatever were described by the Bishop of Orleans as monsters of guilt reeking in blood and filth, unquote. Pope John the whatever in 985 to 996 split the church's finances among his relatives and was described as, quote, covetous of filthy lucre and corrupt in all his acts, unquote. It goes on and on and on, folks. This list is extensive. The office of a pope is a scam. There's only one holy potentate, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God with power, risen from the dead, hallelujah, having bought us with his precious blood. And God forbid that we give glory to any filthy, wicked, depraved sinner that puts on a robe and parades himself about as if he is God in the place of God and King of Kings. That is reserved only for Jesus Christ, Brother James, and also the potentate. There's only one potentate. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me read it to you real quick here. Here it is. There's no such thing as a pope in Scripture. It's a lie and draws attention away from Jesus Christ. That's what it's designed to do, folks, by the devil. There's only one holy potentate, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, that means supreme ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16. Brother James, we've got to draw nigh to God. And that's the only way, under the refuge of obeying his truth, that we're going to be kept from being deceived in this absolute deluge of Antichrist filth that is coming upon the earth, and which most every leader of any influence given the spotlight is bowing their knee to this phony Pope of Rome. You know, I began to say earlier, in the 80s I studied about how it's documented fact that in order to break the inner circle and become extremely popular and rich in rock music, you've got to bow the knee to Satan, literally.
Yeah.
And so Satan controls who gets the spotlight. You got to realize that, folks. These people aren't popular because they're anointed of God. That's delusional thinking, folks. Listen, the apostles were hated and scorned, and Christ himself and hated. When there were masses, they departed, you know. Ultimately, I mean, they heralded him one day and then cry out for his crucifixion the next day.
Yeah.
You can't go by numbers like that. In fact, you can go by numbers, actually, because if they're drawing a big crowd, it's simply because they're not preaching the original gospel. When you begin to preach that men must repent, they must die to self, they must count Christ more important than everyone in their life, they must hate in comparison, they must hate their own wife and husband and children compared to their love for Christ, or they're not worthy of them. You preach that gospel, and it's not, and that's the original and only true gospel, it's not going to draw a lot of people. It's going to run them off, just like Jesus, who spoke the truth to the multitudes in the wilderness in John 6, and they departed from him, and 12 remained. And Peter gave us the example. As he spoke up for the other apostles, when Jesus said, "Will you also leave me?" Peter said, "Lord, where shall we go? You're the one that has, the only one that has eternal life, the words of eternal life." Folks, we've got to draw nigh to Jesus. We've got to draw nigh to God through his word and come to a fresh repentance and cry out for the holy fear of God, lest we also be sent a strong delusion by the Almighty. Now, let me enlighten you on something, ladies and gentlemen. This goes for you and me also. You're not God's little pet. I'm not God's little pet who he allows to do whatever we want to do and we'll still be okay. That's an absolute delusion. And that's a deceitful heart that would allow such a thought to reign in your mind. Amen. God almost killed Moses, Brother James,
yeah,
as a baby, either Exodus 3 or 4. So why wouldn't he do that to me? There's no respecter of persons with God. You better fear him that's able to destroy both your soul and body in hell, Jesus said. Luke 12, 4 and 5, Brother James.
Amen, brother. That's, you know, this is not just a warning or a speaking against the Pope. It's a warning and a speaking against these men who are being used by the devil, by the Pope, to draw people in. Let me quote James Robertson. When he met with the Pope just recently, he said, this meeting was a miracle, Robertson told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. This is something God has done. God wants his arms around the world, and he wants Christians to put his arms around the world by working together. So he's calling Catholics Christians, and he's saying that God, so look, you know, I mean, he's putting words in God's mouth, because this is the question we have to ask ourselves. Was God put in the hearts of men through the Dark Ages, as we mentioned earlier? Wycliffe was one of the very first ones to do this, but there was many throughout the Dark Ages. You look up the Waldenses, the Paulicians. The Paulicians date back to the 7th century, and these people were fighting against the Roman Catholic Church. You know, so we have, since the inception of the Roman Catholic Church in the 5th century, right around 400 AD, when they really got kicked off, and when the first pope became the vicar of Christ in the succession of Constantine. Constantine is the one that deemed himself the vicar of Christ. So these popes are the succession of Constantine. And so since that period until present day, there's been a true church and there's been a counterfeit church, and that's the Roman Catholic Church. For the first, well, right around the 2nd century and 3rd century, the church would call themselves the Catholic Church, meaning that it was for every human being, whether it be in Africa or if it be anywhere else outside of Jerusalem, all were accepted into this church, the body of Jesus Christ. And they were calling themselves the Catholic Church. There's many documents of that. But Catholic means universal. So when you put a name like Rome in front of Catholic, it becomes an oxymoron, because it's Catholic, it's universal. It doesn't belong to one people group. It does not belong to one nation. It is universal. It's for all. And so, you know, the Roman Catholic Church is the counterfeit of the true Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. But, yes, you know, so James Robertson is obviously working together. He's actually had, over the past few years, Robertson had led several conferences with evangelicals and Catholics working toward an ecumenical understanding. So Robertson is doing this. James Robertson is doing this. So
he's a devil. Yeah, he is a devil.
So we have to turn away from these men. We have to turn away from these men. We need to quit saying that we need a vote. Our vote doesn't matter anymore. The voting booth is controlled by the enemy. This whole world is under the control of Satan. The system. And it's not until Christ comes back and purges it and cleanses it from all this evil and all these evil people, you know. So,
yeah,
you know, one thing, yeah, that I want to point out is the Pope has been used for, man, the last, 1,500 years, 1,800 years. He's been used in a mighty way for Satan. It is definitely one of Satan's churches, one of his religious systems.
Absolutely, brother.
I believe the Pope is going to play a major role in connecting many of the end times. And I would caution everybody, much of what a lot of American Christians that are teaching true, like Dave Hunt, for instance. Dave Hunt wrote a book against Catholicism, and other individuals that are not bowing the knee but are still protesting. A lot of them still hold to reform teaching on the Pope.
Yeah.
And I would say we need to be cautious. We're in a different season. We're in a different time. And the thing is that some of the things that they've used, like, for instance, in Revelations chapter 17, where it talks about the seven mountains, In the King James, it says seven mountains. I don't know if other translations says hills, but it's the same word that's used to talk about the Mount of Olives when he went onto the Mount of Olives, the Sermon on the Mount. And it's when you actually look at it in context, Brother Todd, which it begins in 17, verse 8 and forward, the context is not literal physical mountains, because they say the Vatican is surrounded by seven hills. And that was a reform doctrine. That was the way the reformers pointed out that the Pope was Antichrist. And those seven hills are not physical landmasses. Those seven hills are seven kings. It clearly translates that for us. Five have fallen, one is yet to come. You know, so we need to be very cautious that we don't continue down the same path of reformers. And not only that, there's only going to be one Antichrist that the Bible speaks specifically about in the last times, and it's very clear what he will be doing, you know. And as you quoted out of 2 Thessalonians, he will sit in the temple of God. There's going to be a rebuilding of the temple, of Solomon's temple, which both Jews and Muslims at current time desire and want. They both want the rebuilding of Solomon's temple. So, you know, there's going to be a rebuilding of temple. And that Antichrist, which I strongly believe the scriptures clearly teach, it's an Islamic Antichrist. He's the Assyrian. He will sit in the temple and claim himself to be God.
And then there'll be the false prophet.
And I would say the Pope could very well be the false prophet. But again, look, this is why I say, look, we got to remember that the Pope fit the glove perfect to the reformers. Every single generation that rose up, the Pope was doing everything that the Bible says Antichrist would be doing. So I understand and I see why they would say that, but we're not there. We're further on down towards the end of all things. So we got to be cautious, brother, and we got to be prayerful and watch. What I'm seeing is this is obviously the groundwork for, you know, gold shovels are out, and these guys are sticking them in deep into the ground, and they're picking sides. And it is the side of Satan. And those of us Christians who have not yet allowed God to purge us and prune us from venerating men like Billy Graham.
There you go.
And, you know, Kenneth Copeland and all these other men. Yeah. Listen, if Kenneth Copeland is over other pastors, then you got to understand that those other pastors have to be with Kenneth Copeland on everything he does. The Pope addressed, or Tony Palmer addressed Kenneth Copeland at a pastor's conference that Kenneth Copeland had, and Tony Palmer said, the protest is over. We need to all return back to Rome, and that Tony Palmer is the bishop of the Anglican Church there in Europe. So, you know,
and all the crowd stood up and applauded. Which means they were sucked into the spirit of Antichrist, and they were already, because they were part of that ministry, folks. When you don't love the truth, God is going to allow you to be turned over to strong delusion. God is. He's going to send it himself. He takes it very personally. When you don't love his truth enough to study it and obey it, the Bible says in Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jeremiah 9:3, they were not valiant for the truth. That's all it takes to know that you're on your way to a devil's hell, my friend. We must get rid of all the idols of the heart, as Brother James pointed out. Son of Man, Ezekiel 14:3. These men have set up their idols in their heart. They're claiming to be God's people, supposed to be God's people. These men have set up their idols in their hearts. You see, Zechariah 11:17 speaks of idol shepherds, I-D-O-L, shepherds that set themselves up as idols, and people who gladly elevate them because they simply tell the people what they want to hear. One of the chapters in the book that we have in the ministry, Predators in Our Pulpits, is called Covetous Reciprocation. You can get that book, Predators in Our Pulpits, at safeguardyoursoul.com. So these men have set up their idols in their hearts. You know, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. And in fact, he says, his name is jealous, and that you shall have no other gods before him. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 and 34:14. And it says in Ezekiel 14:3, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? In other words, I'm not going to hear them. Their sins have separated them from their God and all of God's blessings, including eternal glorification with Christ, folks. We have got, you know, we get calls, Brother James, as you know, all the time when people say, hey, you know, we realize Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Meyer are false. Well, okay, that's elementary. But who do we look to? Who do you listen to? Who should we look to? You see, we have this somehow in us, we think that we've got to watch or listen to some other man. Listen, you've got a Bible. You've got the audience of God himself who says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Jesus says, come unto me. Jesus and the bride, the spirit and the bride say, come and drink of the water of life freely, Revelation 22:17. Jesus, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest, over and over. Matthew 28:11-30. And in Isaiah 1, come now, let us reason together. God's calling you to have a real relationship directly with him and with no men involved other than those that are fellowshipping with you in the Word, which we see in Colossians 3:16, Brother James, where it says, let the Word of Christ, not only individually, but corporately, as a body, that means two or more, that's it. And in fact, some of the sweetest fellowship's going to come with you and just one other person, maybe two. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly or abundantly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, learning to glorify the Lord, learning to learn his word and to rightly divide the word of truth and to glorify Christ as the early church did in the book of Acts right after Pentecost when the church was in its pristine condition before wolves entered in and false doctrine. At the end of Acts 2, you can read it, they did four simple things to fellowship, and it was very simple, wasn't it, Brother James?
Absolutely, it was, you know, continuing the doctrine of Christ, of the apostles, and, you know, and that's the one thing.
Yes.
And, you know, you said something that's very sad. I was going to say comical, but it ain't comical, it's sad. And that is people are under this delusion that they got to be somewhere and follow someone apart from Jesus Christ. And, you know, that the other night I talked to an individual, and he said, well, where do you go? And he was all irate because I was, you know, pointing out that the place he was going was false, and I gave clear evidence why it was false. And he said, well, where do you go? And I said, I don't go to a place. I go to a person, and his name is Jesus. You should try it.
Amen.
You know, you wouldn't be living in sin. And that's just the bottom line, you know, is that because people have given their hearts to mere men and not to the God-man, the risen Savior who sits at the right-hand side of the Father making intercession for us. Look, I love you, Brother Todd, but you can make the intercession for me that Jesus can. Praise God, you can
pray
for me. But, you know what I mean?
And what did the apostles do when they tried to render obedience to them? They ran among them and ripped their clothes open. Said, man, we're but men. Come on.
Yeah, we're of like
get
passion.
Your eyes on Jesus, man.
You know, and that's
we
got to
get real here, brother. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, I think there's a lot of Christianity. It's open season on Christians. I'm going to throw off her name, but the female, the woman that is running for the presidency, whatever her name is, she was the president, I believe, or CEO of a major company. Well, in one of her presentations to this company, she said that we need to look to the power of Allah. Okay, so these are Republican, these are conservatives. You got Mike Huckabee, who is calling the Pope your holiness, who is saying that the Pope is supposed to be telling us Christians what to do. And then you got this other woman who claims that Allah is God. What's, you know, also I want to point out, how come church, there's a separation of church and state. There's always a yelling from the White House. There's always a yelling from the ACLU that there has to be a separation of church and state. But when, quote-unquote, the supposable head of Christianity comes, he gets to speak to Congress. ACLU ain't trying to sue.
Oh.
ACLU ain't trying to stop it. That right there is a red flag. That right there tells us that there is something deeper than his religious power, but the reality of his political power that is at play here as well.
It's political, absolutely. Well, they own the media, the one world government, which is Satanists that have amassed themselves, if you will, to rule over the masses.
Let me interject right quick. Sure. Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News and Fox Channel, mm-hmm. is a Catholic. Bill O'Reilly is a Catholic. Sean Hannity is a Catholic. So this is the thing, brother, just as you said, they own media. Look, Fox News may be...
Thomas Nelson.
Thomas Nelson Publishers.
He's Catholic, yep. Yeah.
Catholic. Exactly. You know, so you
Christian
hit it.
Publisher. Yeah.
Supposable Christian publisher, right?
Yeah.
So, look, dude, there's a huge push. There's a huge push to push Christianity out to where they're hated and they can be persecuted, just like the Jews were looked at as the filth of the earth during Hitler's era. Nobody cared what they did with them. That's what's coming our way. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. And look, when you're looking to men that you trust and, oh, well, you know, James Robertson can't be false. There's no way he would lead us astray. Are you kidding
me? Oh,
yeah. Man, is
he's a nice guy. wait, he's a nice guy. In fact, I was invited years ago. I really thought he was a good man of God, you know, many years ago, obviously before my discernment was where it should be. And I went to a big banquet and, in fact, sat at the table with him and his wife next to him, talking to him for hours. He is a nice guy, but hell's full of nice people. And, you know, Joel Osteen's a nice guy, complete false prophet. You don't go by somebody's niceness. A true man of God will tell you the word of God no matter what. And they will speak the truth no matter what. And if it convicts and hurts you, they don't care. They actually do care. They care that you repent. But if it convicted you, it's because you needed to be convicted, because it was the truth. If in this case they spoke the truth, okay, open rebuke is better than secret. So you're lying to people by not telling them the truth is a deception. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Amen. Praise God. I think we got just a few minutes left, huh?
Praise God. Well, you know, this the whole purpose of this is to help people, as you said, brother, and as I've been there at one point as well, when our discernment wasn't where it should be, this is to help those of you that are listening to do your own research. Search these quotes I found. They're online. It's clear. You can watch videos on this stuff. This is not a lie. This is the truth. But also to fall in love with Jesus. This is time to hold on to the anchor of our soul like never before, because the Christian church in the West is going to start to get it from this ecumenical movement, the New Age movement, and Islam. And we will be the minority, and we will be the persecuted minority. And this is our time to shine. This is our time to be the salt. This is our time to be all that Christ has called us to be, and not to shrink back, not to give in to any of these false movements, but to surrender completely to Jesus Christ and to the power of His Holy Spirit, that we may live and walk even as He lived and walked while He was on the earth. Amen?
Amen. Amen, brother. And, you know, this, the only way, you know, a lot of people, a lot of Christian people say, oh, I hope I don't deny Christ. I hope I'm prepared. Well, folks, that's not then in a year or two or a month or 6 months from now when you're when you're facing the gauntlet, when you're facing, what do you call it that cuts your head off? Slips my mind here.
The
gallows. Yeah, guillotine, the gallows. Okay, that's not the time that you're going to all of a sudden go, oh, okay, all right, I'm going to serve God now, so I die in grace. No, folks, you're not going to have the spiritual strength to confess Christ for you, you know, with your life on the line. Today is the day to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Christ. Paul says you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You must own that. You must own that. Brother, you want to close us out in a word and prayer?
Yes, Lord, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you, Lord, that no matter what is taking place, no matter who is gathering together and who is being excluded, we know that we are the majority with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will empower us by the Holy Spirit, as we endure, as we continue on steadfast, Lord, I pray that everyone that listens to this message, that their eyes would be opened up, they would be stirred, they would be shaken, and Lord, they would realize that no man has hands or feet scarred or is a risen Savior, but there is one man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who sits at your right-hand side making intercession for his true church. So we thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you would be exalted through your body in these last days. In Jesus' name.